Then only the wheat, a comparatively small number, a little flock, will be separated from the masses of nominal spiritual Israel, while the great majority, being tares and not real wheat, will be rejected as unworthy of the chief favor to which they were called, and will not be counted among the Lord's jewels. Well, he's comparing, and I think we're going to be discussing this because there's maybe some misinformation and misunderstanding what he means by nominal, but he's contrasting the two, the real wheat and the harvest of the Jewish age were sifted out and became the basis of the Christian church. And then the ones that were left, and we know that it was a great time of trouble at that time, and Israel fell. And it's going to be similar, the end of this harvest.
Hey, thank you, Sister Ellie. Appreciate the good summary there. Indeed, we've had brought to our attention that there is indeed both houses of Israel, the natural and the spiritual. And in these classes, as you've brought out, there has been the outward expression and the real expression of heart and life. And I think that Romans 2:28, I think it was, through 3:2 that Brother Brad read, that he is not a Jew who is one just outwardly, you know, trying to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, but it's the heart expression of the life. Okay, how do we discern between nominal and spiritual, both with natural Israel and with spiritual Israel especially? Brother Jerry.
Well, I appreciate Brother Brad's question. Because nominal does have sort of a degrading, at least maybe in a lot of Bible student minds. But the top of page 205, Brother Russell uses the phrase that this fleshly house was the honored servants. And they were indeed had special honor and favor. And I comes to mind of Romans chapter 3, verse 1, and afterwards, where Apostle Paul says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." That's a pretty honored role. "For what if some did not believe?" And he says, "Shall their unbelief make faith of God without effect? God forbid, let God be true." And so there is this other thought that's been referred to in Romans, the 9th chapter, and 9, verse 6, and a few verses afterwards, that he is not a Jew that is one after the Abraham, or because he's a natural child of Abraham, but of the faith of Abraham. But that doesn't degrade the Jewish prospect of which he brings up in Romans, that the natural house will be indeed have an earthly hope and blessing, and he's not cast them off. Over.
Okay, thank you. You know, it really impresses us of the Heavenly Father's character. The Lord set before them all the rules and regulations and said, if you do these things, you'll be blessed in basket and store. And that their track record was very poor. But yet, because for their father's sakes, the Lord will continue to bless and guide and direct natural Israel, but especially the spiritual. And from Sister Ellie or Sister Linda?
We both want to make a comment, I guess. But
oh, good.
I think that I know people are offended by the word nominal, and we use it as far as the churches are concerned. We say that the nominal Christian churches, Protestant churches, Catholic churches, and so forth. But I think that when Brother Russell uses this term, he's referring to the system as a whole and not to the people.
I agree.
And I think that's what's the point that's missed. And I think that, and I know a few will agree with me on this point, but I feel that there is, you can be begotten regardless of the system, not because of the system. You can be begotten, spirit begotten in what we call Babylon. And and I use the scripture about when Babylon falls, they release the great company from Revelation. So we shouldn't think of all the people being nominal. And I think that there's like I said, there are many that are spirit begotten, but they have to come out of Babylon if they were to be recognized as a member of the high calling. They have, at this time, I think they have to come out and recognize the presence. But I don't think that people, brethren, should be offended by this if they really wouldn't, should be offended if they really understood what the term nominal meant, because they're not following the churches today and the Jewish churches. They're built on a different basis than Jesus taught. It's all about good works, and it's a social type arrangement. So from that standpoint, they're not following the precepts of Christ. And Linda wants to say something.
I just wanted to say something about nominal. You actually need deep truths to motivate your heart and mind. And I know this from being in the nominal church. It's not that the people there, I love the people there. They won't speak to me, but I still love them because I have such a deep relationship with them. But I had to come away. My Heavenly Father revealed that to me. You have to leave. You don't belong there. And I was talking to Ellie last night, and I have a poem I wrote for a brother who was a traveling overseer, and I knew he didn't belong there. But he is so entangled with what he's doing, I don't know if he will ever extricate himself from it. Ellie read me a scripture about that. So we really need our Heavenly Father's spirit to motivate our heart and mind to withdraw from something that we've been in for a long time that we realize is not feeding the deep truths of God's word. Thank you.
Thank both of you for some good comments there. Indeed, there's a lot of wonderful people in the world, and it kind of makes me scratch my head sometimes that the Lord called me instead of one of them, because there's some really quality, loving hearts and mixed in with the not so good. But the one major thing that makes the difference is the Lord has drawn you and me into this arrangement. And he has seen something there that he can lead all the way through this consecrated walk to victory. And not putting down anybody else as individuals, as Sister Ellie and Sister Linda have brought to our attention. Okay, another hand from the meeting hall.
I have two hands, Brother Walter.
Oh, good.
Luchika and Brother Yed.
I want to bring the scripture from John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in the truth. Another one is 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in the truth. And another contraction, the difference between the true people, true attitude, it's Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for such much as these people draw near with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So these two are the difference of the true Christian people and nominal ones. So we want to be the indeed one that speak and live. Thank you, Brother Walt.
Oh, thank you, Sister Luchika. Some great texts there. It really hit the nail on the head as far as our topic now. Indeed, worship not in outward form, but in spirit and in truth. Brother Ed, I'm sure has some pearls of wisdom to share with us. Whoop, I think the mic is not working quite great there.
Okay, now it's on.
Okay, that seems to be better.
Ouch. Thank you. A couple things that stood out to me, and one is at the beginning of the paragraph, it says, in both cases, there have been a nominal Israel and a real Israel in God's nation. Though to men, they appear as one. So you can ask, well, why is that? Well, because God can read the heart. He can see the distinction between those that are true followers of him. And the same thing with the development of the spiritual house. We had the wheat and the tares that were growing together, and he allowed that. Until when? Until this time of separation. And so there was this blurred line. It says the real not being clearly distinguishable until the harvest. So that's the time that it was time to make a distinction and separate. So in 1878, we had the call to come out of her, my people. And it was to develop the spiritual, side of the kingdom. Now, when it comes to nominal, I don't see anything wrong with the term nominal, because it's just those that, whose heart, were not into, developing into what's required to be of the spiritual class. Our Heavenly Father loves them. Why? Because everyone on this planet will know who he is, and their hearts will be developed to be drawn to him. That's part of the at-one-ment with God. So, it's just, you know, you look at, even our, well, take our son. He's not consecrated. He grew up in the truth. He's got a wonderful heart. Just not interested in developing the spiritual. But do I think anything's bad? No. And I appreciated Sister Linda's example. She was there and she recognized. And how is that? Because God, our Heavenly Father read her heart and caused her to come out of there and brought her into this now separable or distinguishable condition where she can grow to develop her new creature in Christ. So there's two phases. We're in the phase of the spiritual development, and those that are considered the nominal they'll have their opportunity, and they will be glad for it. Over.
Okay, thank you for that. Excellent observations there. Sister Sharon, you have a very thoughtful look on your face. Anything that you'd like to express?
Interesting, Brother Walter. I guess so. I was just thinking, too, like Brother Ed was saying, the nominal, I didn't take that. I have never taken that as a negative, even though some of the brethren have expressed that. I think that was where Brother Brad was coming from about nominal. In my mind, it was just a distinction. A distinction between those that have made a consecration of sacrifice unto death and those that do believe and have some hope in Jesus, but they haven't taken the step, as Sister Linda said. So maybe that's what I was thinking. Sorry, I didn't mean to have thought that you were reading over.
Good thought. I'm glad you expressed them verbally. Maybe we could have a few scriptures read. Oh, Sister Ellie or Sister Linda next.
Okay. I just wanted to say, when she said coming out of the nominal churches, there's a real distinction between what I feel now and what I felt then. I've kind of lost my train of thought, I'm sorry, but it really is important to withdraw, because it muddies the waters of true faith and true belief if you don't come out. And I've lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. If it comes back, I'll answer again. Sorry.
Okay, a train of thought gets derailed sometimes. I think we can all appreciate how that works. But indeed, one of the tests of our experiences is how closely do we follow the Lord's leading and direction. Thinking of maybe considering a couple of texts, John 3:21, Brother David Gutu, could you read that for us? And Sister Sally, 1 Corinthians 3:13. And Brother Jim Shepherd, do you like Jim or James better? Anyway, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But could you read 1 Corinthians 11:19 for us? And Brother David, go ahead with that.
I'm sorry, I missed the page, Brother.
John 3:21.
Do you put that, John?
Go ahead and read it when you got it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's King James.
You think that might fit with our discussion, Brother David?
I don't think I understand the scripture, so I might just read another version.
Okay. The thought I was fishing for, but I guess I didn't use the right hook, that the deeds are made manifest of individuals as much as they come and follow the light. And so that's a thought that I got from that one. So sorry to throw you a curve there.
Can I read it in New American Standard?
Oh, please.
But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. I think that's more clear to me.
That is. And what version was that?
New American Standard. I don't have that one, but I have American
New Standard. New American Standard, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. So, again, a text that you can tell them by their fruits. 1 Corinthians 3:13. I already forgot who I gave that to. Mind like a steel trap. Whoever I gave that to could read that next.
It was me, Brother Wally.
Oh, good. How could I forget Sister Sally? I apologize.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. But this scripture text is actually referring to the church. And, yes. It will be manifest through trials and tribulations. And there is one, comment here that I appreciate. It said, demonstrate the faith that will stand or the faith that will be consumed. And that is, what we are going through now. We're going through the trials to prove our loyalty, to prove we want to follow in the footsteps of our, Lord Jesus and come out glorious, towards our Heavenly Father so that He can say that, well done, thou faithful servant.
Very good. These are scriptures, thoughts like this, that we judge ourselves by, self-examination, that we judge nothing before the time, looking at others' experiences, because we all don't do the, most outstanding job in every detail in our walk, but is the Lord is the judge. And 1 Corinthians 11:19.
Oh, I thought it was 3:19. Just a minute.
I probably said the wrong thing. I apologize.
11:19. Okay. And indeed, there must be differences among you to show which of you are approved.
Okay. Any thoughts come to mind on that one?
Well, I was thinking more back towards what your conversation was earlier about the nominal churches or those that are in the churches being nominal. I think that where he says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues. The idea is if you stay in her, the truth will be a plague to you. And how it reverts this, I'm not exactly sure, but in other words, the truth is being given to the nominal systems to enlighten them, but how do they receive it? They receive it as a plague. And those who don't receive it as a plague, you know, well, they're going to be approved by the Lord because they receive it in the proper way and would naturally get out. Over.
Okay. Appreciate that. Kind of an expression of, by their fruits you shall know them. And, if one doesn't comport his life with the truths that are given to him, that's an indication that he may not appreciate the truth as much as he should. Okay, we have a hand from the meeting hall and then from the Rosmus and Lee household here.
Yes, Brother Walter, we have three hands.
Oh, great.
I have the hand, Brother Tim and Brother Yed here. I'm still on question, Brad, about this nominal expression. And I look over translation, which is in my language. It's a little bit more understandable for me. Means really clear that they are taking the name, but they're not real. Means they are pretending to be the ones. An explanation that will be, if you're an Israelite, means you have to obey the God's rules. You have to be a real Israelite. We remember the law, how was the Israelites, what was the rules for them. it's related to circumcision, right? And who was not, they was destroyed, were they were banished. So in my translation means they're taking the name only, but they're not real. What that mean is the spiritual Israel, they're taking the name and they are real because they are actually following and obeying God's rules. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Igor. Brother Tim?
I would like to read volume 3, 252. And I don't know if this is exactly what we're talking about, but I'd like to read it. Our Lord refers to them as Israel, not as a part of Israel, not as Judas merely. He speaks of them, of those who have clinged to the promises and to each other as the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in that they had wandered far from the truth and after the traditions of the false shepherds who had led them in their own way and not as God directed. He says, I am not sent, saved to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the house of Israel, and consequently his ministry was confirmed in harmony with the foregoing, showing that the Jews of this day were not only recognized in representatives of the house of Israel as the terms of all Israel. Our 12 tribes consistently serving God and many similar expressions of our Lord, and that the apostles indicate, and it will be remembered that our Lord, in the connection with this statement, that his ministry was to Israel, forbade his disciples going to and outside the Jews of Palestine. Over.
Okay, thank you, Brother Tim. So that'll fit in well with our next paragraph or two, also on the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. It was all stated as Israel, and the leaders, they didn't do such a good job, and the others would come out and follow the Lord, and the rest fell with the nation. Brother Ed.
Just a comment on that, 1 Corinthians 11:19. I actually appreciated Brother Brad's, Bible he used, the translation, that's the word I'm looking for. And I went through some of the translations we have here, and they're pretty good. It says, amplified. I'll take them from a couple from the top. It says, for doubtless there have to be factions or parties among you in order that they who are genuine and of approved fitness may become evident and plainly recognized among you. So, here again, we're at the point of being distinguishable, so that, this separation can take place. So this is something that, was of necessity, to show that there is a distinction and, to convey to the members of the church, the spiritual class, that this is something special. And in order to grow, we're going to provide this separateness from them. And again, Sister Linda was, I really appreciated the comments that she recognized that this was wrong. And I think this is where our Heavenly Father invites us. He says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. And I think that's an excellent example of that.
Okay, some good thoughts there. I haven't been paying the least bit of attention to the time, and we're about a minute after here. So, Sister Ellie and Sister Linda, If you have a short comment, use small words and talk fast.
Okay, I got small words. I just remembered okay. what I was going to say. It's in Corinthians, and I couldn't find the scripture, but it says, we're baptized into the death of Christ. And you do not baptized into the death of Christ in the JWs. And so I was rebaptized up in Vernon. So we are baptized into his death. And that's how we become part of the church. Thank you.
Excellent comment. That Romans 6, 4, I think, has similar thought there. Romans 6, 4 is good. Brother Jim, a really short closing comment?
Yeah, just interesting scripture on the name only, Isaiah 4, 1. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. So actually he's applying it to all seven churches. Interesting.
What was that again, the text?
Isaiah 4:1.
4:1. Thank you. Well, Brother Brad, we'll have to get in the fellowship time whether we hit your the answer to your question at all, but appreciate the stirring up the pot and stirring up our pure minds here. Okay, we have a very short hymn that we could play in closing.